The Bible oftentimes is criticized very severely because of some of the teachings that it gives regarding a woman's role, both in the church and in the home. Take, for instance, 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. We turn to another passage, Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be unto their own husbands in everything. And Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:14, makes this statement, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the home, give none occasion of the adversary to speak reproachfully. In our modern society, individuals look at those passages and they say, look at that. The Bible just denigrates women. The Bible wants to suppress women. The Bible wants to take women out of all leadership positions and just wants them to be under the thumbnail of the men. Folks, there is not one of those passages that is intended to harm women, to denigrate women, to lower women at all. If you look at those passages in their context, there's a reason those passages are given, and it's this. God is a God of order. And regardless of what institution that there is, there must be order in that institution. And this is the way God has ordered the church, and He has ordered the home. Without that order, there would be chaos. And there will be constant struggles for power in our lives. God doesn't want that. For the women that were in his life. Go home this afternoon and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a lot of reading. And you will never find one, not one example where Jesus ever treated a woman harshly or treated her with any contempt whatsoever. Our Lord held women in high esteem. And when Jesus entered into the lives of women, guess what he did? He made a difference. And that's the title of our lesson this morning. Jesus made a difference in the lives of women. We're going to be looking at four women in this particular lesson. And we're going to see where Jesus made a difference in their lives. The first woman was a woman who was sick. If you are a Bible student, you have heard of this woman. She is known to us as the woman with an issue of blood, and she is recorded in the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Let's look at just a little background about this particular story. Jesus had entered into a town, and there was a man who comes to him, a man by the name of Jairus, and he says, "My daughter is sick. Please come to my home and heal her." And Jesus was willing. He began to make that trek to the home of Jairus, and the Bible says much people followed him and thronged him. There may have been 50, 60, 70, 100 individuals who had gathered around the Christ as he's making this journey to the home of Jairus. There was a woman in this town who simply heard this, Jesus is passing by. This woman, the Bible tells us, had an issue of blood. The Bible says that she had suffered many things of many physicians. Have you ever been treated by physicians for a lot of different things over a long period of time? Folks, they can whoop up on you pretty badly, can't they? And we live in a pretty modern society. Can you imagine the treatments they gave back then for some illnesses, especially those ones they just could not heal? She had suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. What's even sadder than this is that she had spent all that she had. I doubt if they had insurance in those days. Medicaid, Medicare hadn't been invented yet. The Bible says this too. She grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. But she heard this. Jesus is passing by. And the very moment that she heard that, she had this thought, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And guess what? She made her way to the Christ. And all she did was touch the hem of his garment. That's all she did. The miracle was simple. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she had been healed of the plague. Can you imagine that? Immediately, as soon as she touched his garment, I'm well, I'm healed. She knew immediately that everything is fine. Jesus knew something too, though, didn't he? The Bible tells us that he knew virtue had gone out of him. In other words, he knew that his divine power had been released from his body upon some individual, and he immediately asked, who touched my clothes? If you pay careful attention to the text, the disciples are a little bit bewildered, aren't they? Remember, there is a throng of people around Jesus. 50, 100, maybe even more than that. And they tell him, Lord, how do you expect us to know who touched you? Look at this crowd that's around you. But Jesus knew there was a special person in that crowd who had touched his garments. He turns, he looks upon that woman, and guess what? She immediately has fear in her heart. She falls down before Jesus, and the Bible says she told him all the truth. Lord, I've had an issue of blood. The doctors can't heal me. I've spent everything I have. I've heard of your power. I've heard of your ability. And I believed in my heart if I could just touch your clothes, I would be healed. And I did that. And guess what? I've been healed from the very moment I did it. Wow, what a story. Did Jesus make a difference in the life of that woman? You bet he did, didn't he? In fact, more than just one way. Oh, yes, he healed her. No more bleeding. No more endless hours of suffering over and over and over. No more trips to the doctor. I'd like that, wouldn't you? No more wasting your money. And what about this one, folks? No more struggles with being unclean. A woman in her condition who is constantly bleeding, as far as the Jews were concerned, was an unclean individual. She could not be accepted into the fellowship at the temple. All that had changed, hadn't it? Jesus made a difference in the life of this woman. Watch this. She could now live her life as a normal person. Don't we just take that for granted? And sometimes we look at our lives and we say, oh, my life is so dull, my life is so boring, it's just so normal. And there are people out there who just wish, if I could just have one day as a normal person. And now this woman could do that, couldn't she? from now on in her life. The second thing Jesus did is this. He commended her faith. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Wouldn't you love someone to commend your faith? Wouldn't you love the Lord Jesus Christ to commend your faith? Maybe one of these days when we stand before Him in judgment, He will do exactly that, mightn't He? You have been a person of great faith. And He tells this woman, you are partly responsible for this healing because of your faith. You think that woman was going to lose faith in the days ahead? I doubt that, don't you? And here's something else. She has been recorded forever in Scripture as a divine example for us about great faith. All I have to do is what? Touch the hem of His garment. That's all. Jesus made a difference in the life of a woman who was sick. How about this one? Jesus made a difference in the life of a woman who was suffering. The woman about whom we speak is known only to us as a widow, according to Luke 7, verse 12. Again, let's look at the background of the story. Jesus was traveling and He was nearing a little village, a little town by the name of Nain. And the Bible says that He was with His disciples and much people were with Him. As He was going into the city, there were individuals coming out of the city. Now, that's not unusual, is it? At the gate of a city, there's always individuals going in and going out. But this was a unique set of individuals coming out of the city. Notice what the text says. Now, when He came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people with her. This was a funeral procession, wasn't it? I want you to think about this woman for a minute. She had already experienced the loss of a husband. The Bible says she was a widow. I don't know when she lost her husband. I don't know how she lost her husband. But I do know this, there was a hole in this woman's heart because she no longer had her mate in her life. My friends, in the first century, that made the life of a woman much, much, much more difficult. But she had a son, didn't she? She wasn't barren. And that son was a crown to her. That son was a glory to her. And yet now what has happened? Now her son has passed away. He's lying there in what we would call a casket. And he's been carried to his gravesite. The mom is there. You can imagine the wailing and the weeping that she was experiencing. And a great crowd was around her, trying to support her, but also in agony over this young man's death as well. Here's a woman who is suffering, isn't she? The reaction of Jesus to this funeral procession is priceless. Do you know that? You don't see very many funeral processions anymore in our society, do you? Very unusual. We cremate everybody. Just have a little urn. Don't transport them anywhere. If we do, we just take them in our car. Used to, you saw them all the time, didn't you? And when you saw one coming, you pulled over to the side and you let all the cars go by and your mind was immediately focused on loss and death, especially when you saw the hearse and the car behind it, because you knew The car behind it was filled with family who had lost someone they loved. That's what Jesus saw. And the Bible says this, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. That little word compassion. Com means with, passion means to suffer. The literal definition is to suffer with. If I am a compassionate person, I have the ability to suffer with another individual. When Jesus saw that woman and her heart was broken, his was broken as well. Folks, compassion will motivate you. Compassion moves you. And that's what happened on this occasion. Jesus didn't know this woman. He'd never been introduced in her life. And yet what does he do? The Bible says he said unto, he has to walk over to the woman close enough to see her and say, woman, weep not. Weep not. He knew exactly what he was about to do, didn't he? And we have the miracle recorded for us. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, hear that? I'd like to know how old this young man was, wouldn't you? Young man. Usually a young man, as far as Jews were concerned, was somewhere between 20 to 40 years old. In other words, here is a young man who died far, far too early. You know that? That makes it even worse, does it not? Not long ago, we told you about a young man from up in Tennessee who fell on the ice, busted his head, and died 29 years old. He died far too young. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And notice what happens. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he, Jesus, delivered him, the risen son, unto her, the widow, the mother. What a blessing. What a blessing. Question, did Jesus make a difference in that woman's life? Absolutely. Her grief was immediately removed, wasn't it? Folks, grief can be deep, can it? It's not just sorrow. Grief, there is sorrow with grief, but grief is different than sorrow. But all of a sudden, this man is sitting up, talking to his mom, hugging his mom, and just alive as he had ever been. There is no grief. She's no longer lonely, is she? Can you imagine what she's thought the last two or three days? What am I going to do? I'm all by myself. Who's going to be helping me? She's not alone anymore. She would now have her son to enjoy for days and months and years in the future, won't she? And here's what I love. That young man may have lived long enough to take care of his mama in his old age, in her old age. Isn't that a blessing? Several of y'all in this audience have children, and some of you are the children who are helping your parents who are older. Folks, listen to me. It is a blessing to that older person. Jesus made a wonderful difference in the life of a woman who was suffering. Jesus made a difference in the life of a woman who was serving. On one occasion, Jesus entered into the home of a man by the name of Simon. Jesus had healed this man of leprosy. And he invited Jesus in as a guest. And the Bible says that as Jesus was sitting there eating meat, that a woman comes with an alabaster box of ointment. And she breaks that box open. And she pours that oil onto the head of Jesus Christ. Because that woman was performing an act of service on behalf of Jesus. I want you to keep that point in your mind, okay? The woman was performing an act of service on behalf of Jesus. And guess what happens? Just as soon as she had performed that act of service, she was immediately criticized by whom? By the disciples of the Lord. Ugh. I'm sick, aren't you? And don't we have a tendency to do the very same thing that those individuals did? Her service seemed ignorant. Her service seemed wasteful. Her service seemed out of place. Her service was not what they would have done. It wasn't done the way they would have done it. And so all they can do is what? Gripe and complain. And they do. To what purpose is this waste? See, the ointment was expensive. It cost a lot of money. And now where was it? Flowing on the head of Jesus. What a waste. And see, they had a better thing that could have been done with it. For this ointment could have been sold for much and given to the poor. I've got a better way. Unbelievable. How did the woman feel when she heard the criticism from the disciples of Jesus Christ? How did she feel? You think she was embarrassed? You think there was a sense of shame? You think the words that they spoke hurt? There may have even been tears that came to her eyes. All I'm trying to do is serve my master, and all you can do is complain about it. Who does that? We have a tendency to do it a lot, even within the church, folks. And guess who came to her rescue? Jesus, immediately. He's about to make a difference in the life of this woman, isn't he? And there's 5 points that he makes in Matthew 26:10-13. The first thing he says, he gives them an admonition. Why trouble ye this woman? Folks, leave your brethren who are trying to do their best alone. Leave them alone. If they're performing a service, if they're doing the best they can, just leave them alone. Why are you troubling this woman? Second thing, a commendation. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Folks, the ointment is just dripping down his head. It's flowing down his body. And he's talking to those men while he's still just wet as he can be. He didn't see any evil in her actions. He didn't see anything wrong with her actions because there was nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't up to snuff as far as the apostles were concerned. Oh no, Jesus says she's wrought a good work upon me. You see, Jesus recognizes even the least little service that a man does for him. Isn't that wonderful to think of? Watch this next point, a reflection. For the poor ye have with you always, but me ye have not always. I'm not going to be here forever. In fact, my death is looming near. We're in the 26th chapter of Matthew, aren't we? It's coming very quickly. You can do this other stuff anytime you want to. You've got the poor always with you. In other words, if you want to do an act of service, then you do an act of service and you do it the way you want to do it. Because there's plenty to be done. But this needed to be done right now. Watch this next point, an explanation. For in that she hath done this, anointed my body, she's what? She did it for my burial. Isn't that interesting? Jesus recognizes the reason it was done. And then he says this, an affirmation. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel is preached, the whole world, there shall be this also, that this woman hath done. And it will be told as a memorial to her. 2,000 years removed from the event, and guess what we're doing? We're honoring that woman, aren't we? Did Jesus make a difference in the life of that woman that day? You bet. Huge difference. He protected her from evil critics. And sometimes we need somebody to step up and do that, don't we? Too easy to criticize. Too easy to be negative. Too easy to down others. Don't do that. Notice this. He healed any of the hurt that she experienced because of the accusations. I can almost see her hiding behind Jesus, can't you? And wanting to hug him with everything she's got. Because he's protected her. He caused her to be justified that day. She's the one doing right. You're the ones doing wrong. Isn't that something? Sometimes we get that mixed up, don't we? He held her up as an example that was going to be remembered throughout the entirety of the world, listen to him, as long as the gospel is preached. Folks, if this earth lasts another 1,000,000 years, guess who we'll hear about? We'll hear about the woman who anointed the head of Jesus with an alabaster, well, let's change that, with a very, very expensive alabaster box of ointment. Jesus made a difference in the life of that woman. Number four, he made a difference in the life of a woman who was in sin. Again, we only know this woman by some unique descriptions. She is referred to as the woman of Samaria. She is referred to as the woman at the well. Some individuals like to refer to her as the woman in sin. And she was, wasn't she? A little background. Jesus was traveling through Samaria. He got all the way near the capital city of Samaria, known as Samaria. And he sat down tired at the well of Jacob, didn't he? All 12 of the disciples go into the city in order to buy meat to bring back to him. And while he is gone, all of a sudden this woman shows up, a woman of Samaria. And she's going to draw water from that well, and before she can do that, Jesus immediately inserts himself, doesn't he? Give me to drink. That's all he asks. Give me to drink. Four words in English. And the woman is astounded, isn't she? And she recognizes it immediately. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a Samaritan? How do you do that? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, and that was true. Samaritans were dogs. They were unclean. You didn't have fellowship with them. You certainly didn't sit down and have a drink of water with them. And yet that's the very thing Jesus was doing, wasn't he? We could spend another hour talking about the things Jesus and this woman talked about and the difference he made in the life of this woman. You know the first thing he did? He broke down cultural and social barriers that existed between them. Don't we need that in our society? Badly. I'm amazed that we're in the 21st century and we still have those kind of barriers, don't we? Jesus didn't care she was a Samaritan and that he was a Jew. I don't care. I'm more concerned about your spiritual man than anything else, and I will talk to you. He told her about living water, didn't he? Living water. Now, Jesus needed water to live. That's why he was asking for a drink. Then all of a sudden, he turns it around and he says, if you would have asked me for water, I would have given you living water. Because whosoever drinks of that water will live forever. And you know what she immediately did? She did what he had done. Lord, give me this water. Now she's asking for water. Whole conversation turned upside down, isn't it? This is interesting. He exposed her sinful lifestyle, didn't he? Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had a bunch of them, and the one you got now ain't your husband. And that's something. He didn't hesitate to talk to her about her sinful condition. Folks, until individuals know they're in sin, they'll never desire salvation. It's not being mean to talk to someone about their sin. If you think that's not the case, go read Romans chapters 1 through 3. Paul says salvation is in the gospel, Romans 1:16. He then looks at the Jews, to the Gentiles, and he says, Gentiles, you're in sin. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, he says, Jews, you're in sin. Chapter 3, we've concluded that they are all in sin. But if you're in sin, guess what you need? You need the salvation of the gospel. That's what this woman stood in need of, did she not? Salvation. I find it too that she had her views on worship corrected by our Lord that day. She's finally getting to talk to a Jew, isn't she? Hey, Jesus, our fathers say that we ought to worship in this mountain, and they were right at the foot of Mount Gerizim. But you say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Who's right? Don't ask a question if you don't want an answer. Isn't that right? You know what Jesus said? Ye know not what ye worship. We know what we worship. For salvation, listen to him, is of the Jews. Boy, that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? And then he told her this, there's coming a day when it's not going to matter which mountain you worship in. What's going to matter is that you worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and he seeks such to worship them. He told her he's the Messiah. In fact, she said, we've been waiting on the Messiah, and you know what he said? I am he. You can't get much plainer than that. The very one you're talking to is that prophet, is the Messiah, is the one predicted in the law of Moses. You see, the Samaritans held to the five books of Moses. And Jesus is talked about in those books, isn't he? He caused her to become an evangelist to her people, didn't he? She ran back into that city. You know what she said? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. And notice the result. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Here's a woman who could not help but talk about this wonderful, unique man who had spoken to her four words in English at the well of Samaria. You got to see him. Wow. We've looked at four accounts in this lesson, haven't we? One from Matthew, one from Mark, one from Luke, one from John. And what's interesting to me is this. Not one of those women is named, is it? You'll never know the names of those women until you get to heaven. But what's interesting is Jesus made a difference in the lives of each one of them, didn't he? He brought healing to a sick woman. He brought comfort to a suffering woman. He brought protection to a woman who was serving. He brought salvation to a sinful woman. Here's the point. Jesus came into this world to make a difference, folks. And it didn't matter to him If you are a man or a woman, didn't matter. And guess what? It's still true today, isn't it? The only thing our Lord wants is salvation. And He wants the salvation of all, and it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. All He says is this: come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All. If you're in sin today, never obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that. The steps are simple. You hear the truth. You believe He's the Christ. You die to an old way of living by repenting of those sins. And you're immersed into Christ to have those sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Dear Christian, has Christ made a difference in your life? If so, does your life manifest that difference? Maybe we need to repent. Ask God to forgive us. Do you need our prayers? Won't you come?